On today's episode, who cares? It's football. We're going to talk about it in our beautiful voices. This is the Push Off. Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend while getting you ready for the next. I'm your host, Scott Hogan, sitting across from this table from me as always.
Dan leads the league in passing right.
That's right, Dan. We are here to discuss what just ended was week 11 into week 12.
It's a good week for both of us.
Great week for us. Great weeks for our picks. We really rebounded with the picks and everything else about this week. So, yeah, we're going to have just some fun tonight.
Yeah, just a good old-fashioned, you know, feeling good week.
We're right here on Hump Day. Hope you guys are enjoying your week. We're going to get you ready for that Thursday night game tomorrow and all of the games to come while we discuss the ones that just happened.
It's going to be a smorgasbord.
All right, Dan, so I'm going to jump into this. We did a podcast last week where we didn't talk about picks, but heading into this week, week 11, myself and my mom tied at 91, you right behind us at 89. That's okay. Where we were heading into this week. We came from a week last week where we were awful in picks. My mom, not much better. This week, I'm going to come right out and say, me and Dan only disagreed on one game. Myself and my mom only disagreed on one game. Was it the same game? Was it not?
Let's find out.
Let's find out. Let's get going. Game of the week this week.
Brown Steelers. Gotta be Brown Steelers.
Oh, my God. You forget that those Thursday night games happened.
You really do. It's been so long.
We will be talking about that one. And obviously, the one thing about that game that we want to talk about, of course, is, you know, how well Baker Mayfield
played. Looked great. He looked great. We're moving on.
No, the game of the week is my game. I schedule this stuff and...
this is the one advantage of making the show schedule.
Sometimes there was a couple other games. I was like, it could be maybe those, but I mean,
this is a legit game of the week contender, though. This
is 20-0 comeback. Let's go!
It's a big comeback. The game was still up in the air up until the final seconds. Yeah, this is a legit game of the week.
It really did come down to one of the more entertaining games to watch. I think no matter if you were a fan of those teams or not, other than being a Broncos fan, you don't want to watch the second half.
If you're a Broncos fan, you don't want to watch much Broncos football this year.
That's probably true too. It's been a bad year for Denver, but obviously that's the game we're talking about. Broncos 23, Vikings 27, which we both took the Vikings, and oh boy, at halftime we were sweating it.
I was not excited for that pick. Also not excited to do this podcast if you lost by a drubbing to the fucking Denver Broncos.
We got two games. We got two games in this one. The first half and the second half, and really, you could have told me they were two separate weeks the way that these teams play.
You could have told me these were four different teams.
Yeah, it's true, too. So we start with Denver getting everything working for them in the first half. So let's talk about Denver. Starting Brandon Allen, just his second game in the league as a starter, his first road game, in one of the louder stadiums in the league, one of the more raucous teams that have been playing this season. All of this was stacked up against him. And you know what? He played a pretty good game.
He did. I mean, he comported himself well. He wasn't lighting it up. His completion percentage was nothing to write home about. But this is what you expect from a guy who's, second, third start all time in the NFL?
He threw one interception, and it was like to the goal line to Andrew Sendejo, who's back and starting for us this week because we were down a safety again. No Adam Thielen. I say the Vikings. No Adam Thielen. No Joseph again. And now no safety in Anthony Harris, who's leading the team in interception. So, you know, no big deal. But, yeah, all of a sudden, it's 7-0 Broncos, and it's 10-0 Broncos. It's 17-0 Broncos. Vikings start fumbling it. It turned so pear-shaped so fast that watching this live, I was like, okay, if that's what this game's going to be, I'll damper my expectations now and just realize I can drink the rest of the day away.
I can chase all my troubles away with whiskey.
Yeah. Got to talk about Sutton. We've loved this guy ever since coming out of college.
Guys, listen to the draft podcasts. They are the best. They are the best draft podcasts available to you in the nation because we actually know what the fuck we're talking about.
And we talked about him. Yeah, in this short career so far in the NFL, he easily became their one of their starting wide receivers, and more of that was on need than anything for the Broncos.
But it's need met with merit. He now has it, sure all has. Of the capabilities to be a number one wide receiver in this league.
He catches an amazing one deep down the field when they're already up 7-0 or 10-0 with Xavier Rhodes just blanketed on him. And it doesn't matter anymore. Xavier Rhodes doesn't guard people very well. then later...
He really fell off a fucking cliff, didn't he?
And if you think about it, that's cornerbacks, isn't it?
They really do, yeah. I mean, you get a good cornerback, like... I mean, just think about the incredible cliff that Darrell Revis fell off of.
I knew you were going to bring up Darrell Revis. You love this story.
It's true. Like, Deion Sanders was a guy that near the end of his career was a fucking nickel corner.
Yeah.
He was a nickel corner for the last 5 years of his career.
I want to say, was it Dallas at the end?
Well, he wasn't Dallas at the end because he went to the Ravens and he went to the Redskins.
Oh, God, that's right.
When he was, like, literally Dallas cut him when it was like, hey, you're done here.
I think there was games there where it was like, yeah, pick on Deion. Pick on the 35-year-old here playing cornerback.
Because how the fuck can you do that? Like, your body only lasts so long. You only have, I want to say, from the age of like 17 till the age of 25, you are the greatest athlete.
So depressing.
True. I know. We're well past it.
Yes.
You are the greatest athlete you're ever going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one is a better athlete at 30 than they were at 25. If they kept up the same way, like if they had the same routine.
Yeah. So cornerback specifically, though, Cliff's like, I think you got 2 years maybe of being like a shutdown corner, mm-hmm. worth all the money you're getting, and then that does change on you pretty fast. And
I think
that's what we're seeing with Xavier Rhodes.
Goes away. Your feet slow down a little bit. Your hips slow down a little bit, and then all of a sudden, people are on you because you've been taking the number one guy.
Yeah.
And wide receivers have a much longer time to be elite.
I think so, too.
Than corners do.
You can keep working out. You get your routes sharper. You work with a quarterback who knows where you're going to be at what point. And
you ask Adam Thielen. You don't have to be all that fast if you know how to run a fucking route.
That's a myth. The guy has burners. He's got burners,
He's
I
got
say.
Good speed, but look at Amari Cooper, who does not have that like elite burner speed,
right.
But can run a crisp motherfucking route.
Oh, routes.
Look at Larry Fitzgerald. Who at this point in his career runs a 6-second 40.
Routes are more important than speed in wide receivers. I completely agree.
That's why I love Cortland Sutton. He runs a good route. He's got great hands, and goddamn it, he's pretty quick.
You know what else he can do? Throw.
Yeah, he's
that
got a touchdown.
Pass. And, well, he
oh,
didn't,
without a touchdown,
he
sorry.
Threw that one in there, but it was like a nice 38-yard gain or something for them, and that was the other side of the field where we had Wayne's blanketing some no-name wide receiver for them, and a guy brings it in. And that was this first half of this game. Just nothing going their way. Fine. After the Kirk fumble and then a fumble on the kickoff, I'm looking at this. It's already 20-0. I'm like, all right, it's done. I'll watch some other games here for the second half. But sure enough, caught my attention coming back the second half. They get down the field on a deep Diggs play. Diggs finally shows up after really doing nothing in the first half. He has 121 yards from scrimmage, and then another deep touchdown later in this one. They bring it all the way back. They score another touchdown with 6 minutes left on the clock, and that's Kirk Cousins' third passing touchdown of the half.
Kirk Cousins, who went damn near 30 for 35 in this game. He's 29-35.
Yeah.
He had a phenomenal game. I mean, he wasn't getting those opportunities early on, but he was, you know, we always talk about Kirk Cousins. Doesn't go broke making a profit.
Right.
That's
right.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it was obviously the second half is where he got all his stats here. Impressive throws, and then just kind of jogs off to the sidelines. Like, not even showing that much excitement out on the field, but it's like, whatever, just keep doing it. They take the lead 27-23, the end score in this one, with 6 minutes left. And then I watched a Denver team just pick it apart down the field and all these fourth down conversions. Denver for this whole game was 4-for-4 on fourth downs. And you watch that, especially at the end where it's like, all right, all I got to do is not let them get 5 yards here and the game is over and it's continuing.
And it's maddening for a defense. Like, as maddening as it is for a fan, on the defense, you're like, you can't convert three of these fucking things on the same drive. Can you? Oh my God, what the fuck?
And it could have been another fourth down. They just ran out of time there. The third and goal from the, let's say 4 yard line was with 2 seconds left. And if they played their clock management a little bit better, called a timeout sooner, or on the 4th and inches where Brandon Allen catches it with his feet, run it out of bounds, don't try to get in that end zone.
Yeah.
There were things that Broncos could have done to give him more shots, but thank God they didn't. My heart couldn't take it. Somehow the Vikings escape here after being down not only 20-0, 23-7, and an awful sack. It was a 3rd and 14 for Cousins, and he converts it to our third string tight end, Conklin. I was like, okay, hey, we got a shot now.
Yeah, this to me, the past couple weeks, the Vikings have been answering some questions.
Oh, yeah.
Can you beat a team that is at your commensurate level? Let's call the Dallas Cowboys at their commensurate level.
Uh-huh.
Can you beat them at home? Yeah, they did. Can you get punched in the mouth, surprised by a team that is no good, and come back on them? Yeah, you can. Denver Broncos. And that's a good defense. That's a real hard defense to come on, come back on when they just get to pin their fucking ears back at 20-0.
It's not a full awful team. I think it is a good defensive team and then a young offensive team that had their talent shipped out the last couple years.
And we talk about it a lot. First half is about game plan. Second half is about talent.
Yeah.
Vikings were not ready for this game, but they were way more talented. With the exception of Cortland Sutton, who may be equivalent to some of the people you've got on offense, the cupboard's pretty bare there for the Denver Broncos offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, full of stars, full of studs. Although that's starting to dwindle as well with Bradley Chubb being gone. You know, they still need a couple more pieces there. The worst thing that could happen to the Denver Broncos is if they went on a weird little mini winning streak.
At this point, sure.
Because they absolutely need to add more talent, and they're going to be a top 10 pick again this year, and I hope they're able to get somebody that can really move the needle for them.
For a 3-win team, they're certainly not near the bottom of this.
Spunky.
Yeah, and we both gave our bottom 5 a couple weeks back, and neither of us, I think, were putting Denver down here.
I'm still not putting Denver down there.
I wouldn't either. This is their 4th blown 4th quarter lead this season.
But that's a young team. This is team. Yeah. You know, you got to chalk that up to, you know, when the lights are hot. You've never been in this situation before.
Mm.
Somebody's going to have a half second thought that you didn't have because they've been in that situation before, and it's going to help them make the difference. And I feel like that was it at the end of the game.
And they were showing that stat through the game there, too, that it was over the last 5 years, no team has done this. It was now 1 in 100 teams have been able to come back from down 20 points in the second half. So Vikings are a 1 in 100 team. Sounds pretty good. Biggest comeback for them since 1992.
Ooh.
When they came back on 20 against the Bears. That's that game that always sticks in my head. I remember. It was one of those that, like, 92, I was like a second grader. Made me love them in that game. So.
Yeah. The thing that sticks in your head was when you were in second grade. The thing that stuck in my head was when I was, like, a young single man. But it's like, the memories. The memories of youth.
Yeah, you become a fan when you're a fan. Who knows it?
True.
That's what I have for this game. I'll relive it over and over again, but it was a big win. Got us our 8th win. We go to a bye week next week.
8-3.
Yeah.
Worst thing that could happen to you, completely fall off the fucking cliff.
We've just got the same amount of wins we had all last year.
That's pretty good. This
should be an upgrade.
This year is an improvement.
Yeah.
You've got to think that you've got the inside track and a wild card at this point.
Right.
And I think if you're the Vikings, you've got 5 more weeks to go. Well, you got 6 more weeks, but you only got 5 more games to go.
5 more games, yep.
You could easily win 2 or 3 of those games.
We control our own destiny, obviously, but yeah, what it is, I'll just spit it out to you because I know this team. We come back from the bye week. We are going to at Seattle.
Tough.
Big game, too.
Tough. Maybe a loss, but you got a bye week you're coming off of.
Coming off a bye week, yeah, so hopefully. After that, it is at home against Detroit.
Got to win that game.
Divisional matchup. On the road to L.A. Chargers.
Who may be starting a different quarterback.
Who knows what's going on in the Chargers now. And then we end the season with home against Green Bay. Might be for the division.
Yep.
Home against Chicago.
Which might be for Mitch Trubisky's hips.
Maybe, but again, I don't look at any Bears game as a win. Can't.
Division games are always a weird situation.
Luckily, all 3 of those division games are in Metrodome, in Valhalla. Hopefully we get it.
I think you're winning at least 2 of those games to make you a 10-win team, which in my mind, I know it's tough in the NFC, but I think that makes you a wild card.
There is a chance, you're right, the 10 wins doesn't get you in the NFC. So something to watch, huh? All right, Dan, let's move on. Let's move on to Miami, where the Buffalo Bills visited and took the win 37-20.
We saw this coming.
Yep.
The Miami Dolphins, despite a 2-game win streak, are still bad. They are still a bad team that is trying hard not to win. But every once in a while, you will see one of their players do something stupid where he returns a kickoff for a touchdown because, holy shit, that guy is fast as fuck.
Surprise onside kick by the Dolphins, too.
True, yeah.
How about that?
I almost wonder if Brian Flores is using this year as just like a chemistry set where he's like, I want to see what I can fucking get away with. I want to see what I can do.
You might as well at this point. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're 2-8, which is probably more wins than you maybe wanted at the beginning of the year, but you're a top five pick. You're looking at Josh Rosen going, well, I guess we can move on from you. You only cost me a second round pick.
Right.
I know you're a first rounder. Josh Rosen's going to wind up somewhere else next year, in all likelihood.
They should look like a completely different team in the next year or two here. You got Fitzpatrick at quarterback, and
who's that's your, done. That can't happen next year.
Your best offensive weapon is still, what, Devontae Parker?
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, I don't. So,
Kalen Ballage.
Right. That's the Dolphins. No need to give them too much time. The Buffalo Bills, on the other hand, they are still in a wild card run here for
7-3.
AFC, absolutely. And Josh Allen had a great-looking game here. Three touchdowns and ran one in.
He was really good in this game. He had 250 yards, which is... He's not a guy that's going to throw for, like, 400 yards a game.
No.
He's a 250 guy. He's a 250 and 40.
Yes, he's going to hit you some with his legs, too.
And so this was a really good game by Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills were in control of this almost the whole way. They started to lose it a little bit in the second quarter, but this very much felt like Buffalo's game to win the whole time.
Yeah, it was 16-0 Buffalo. It was 23-7 right before the half, and then you're like you said, the Dolphins get that kickoff return. Mm-hmm. So 23-14 is what it was at half. That sounds a lot better than really what the game was.
Yeah, this was Buffalo's all game. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a little surprised Devin Singletary didn't have a better game. But this Buffalo team looks like it's middling on offense, looks like it's slightly above middling on defense.
7 sacks in this game.
But it's against Miami.
But it's against Miami, yeah. John Brown, 2 touchdowns, but it's against Miami.
I just don't trust these Buffalo Bills. I still don't trust these Buffalo Bills. There is, you may be 7-3, but I don't think they really beat any of the top three teams in the AFC South.
It's hard to look at them, yeah, as a team in the AFC that will be able to beat any playoff team.
I'm not worried about the Buffalo Bills.
I'm not either.
They might wind up making the playoffs, and I think they have literally zero people give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunately the truth right now for Buffalo. They're sitting in there like an old Tennessee Titans team. So.
Oh, God. Tennessee North.
The Bills do get the Denver Broncos coming to their house, so it's going to be Broncos at Bills.
And I think if you're the Bills, this is another win for you, and if you're the Broncos, this is another loss where you get to show off how much you're trying.
Yeah.
But... yeah, Buffalo is going to be 8-3, and I still don't believe in them.
Both these teams are heading in different directions, want something different, hopefully, for this game. I think Vic Fangio isn't ready to just cut his strings and lose out.
No.
So I think they're going to put up a good fight here. It's going to be a low-scoring game, definitely, because two strong defenses with meddling offenses, like you said.
I think the Denver Broncos are going to be a top 10 pick, but not a top 5 pick. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a pronounced difference and how you feel about your team if you're a top 10 pick versus a top 5.
Oh, yeah.
If you're top 5, you're like, wow, we sucked. If you're top 10, you're like, well, we did some things poorly, but you know what? We can get this thing going. We got a young quarterback. We got two young quarterbacks. We got a young wide receiver core. We got a defense that's still going to get some reinforcement back.
Now, Denver is one of those teams. One of the stats that I heard as a Vikings fan all through is like, well, the Broncos lost like, what, 3 games this season in just 2 points or less.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I get it. They've lost, sure, I look at their record, but that doesn't speak the whole story. So
they're much in the same way we looked at the San Francisco 49ers going like, you know, you're a couple players away from being really, really good last year. That's kind of how I feel about the Denver Broncos. They're not that far away. The record shows you that they are, but watching the games, it tells a different story.
Brandon Allen in now. Rippon has been their backup QB. Are we not going to see Drew Lock?
You have to kick the tires on Drew Lock because you're going to get an opportunity, depending on where you are in that top 10, to maybe take a pretty solid quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to get a first pick or first round buy like type of thing. He's not He's not going to get a fourth-year option.
Yeah, this is a Jimmy Clausen situation.
Yes.
So Jimmy Clausen, if you remember, was the starter for about a half a year in Carolina, and then they're like, yeah, we're done with you. Cam Newton's our guy.
Right.
You never heard from him again.
Is that right? I thought the Bears gave him a little kick.
No, no, they gave him a kickster. But, I mean, that's the same shit. He went to the Bears during the Bears, like, complete shit show years. It's the same shit as no one hearing from you again.
Oh, boy.
So I worry that that's what will happen to Drew Lock. And if it's injury-based, he may be walking into these meeting rooms and they're just going, that's my guy. That's the anointing oil. Mm. Can't wait to see him in a game or two this year and I can prove myself right. Or he might be lazing around the facility, looking like shit, not getting his workouts in, looking immature. And they may say, you know what? Back to the drawing board next year.
That's so, true.
Second round pick, not too bad.
No, you're right. As quarterbacks, there's a lot that they can prove just coming in each every day. So we'll see.
Are you grinding? If you're injured, are you grinding? Are you in the film room? Are you doing all the shit you need to do? Because that'll win you more points than when you can actually play slinging that thing at 100 miles an hour like he's capable of.
Right. Okay, Dan, you allowed me to begin with my Vikings win, so we are going to jump right into your Dallas Cowboys winning in Detroit.
Hell yeah.
35-27, of course we both picked it.
This was an interesting game. I was very frustrated in the first half and because we weren't getting anything going. Mm. They kept talking about during the broadcast, like, Dak Prescott really wants to start fast. No one wants to start slow.
Right, right.
Like, it's like, they want to score a lot of points, and this isn't going the way they wanted it to. It's like, well, fucking, yeah, duh.
Vikings had that plan all along. We're going to spot them 20, and then just pop in there.
The plan for every team at the beginning of every game is start fast, impose your will. When it doesn't happen, it's just called fucking life.
Yeah.
But what the Cowboys were able to do, which I was really happy with, was in the second quarter, they turned on the fucking Jets, which was, God damn it, not the Jets. They turned on the boosters.
Yep.
Because this team went, oh, right, you're going to stop Zeke, but you're going to leave wide open dudes in the secondary, and we're going to hit you. Dak Prescott tore this secondary to fucking shreds. And Darius Slay was not responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
Slay was all over whatever receiver he was on. When he was on Michael Gallup, Michael Gallup wasn't doing anything. When he was on Amari Cooper, Amari Cooper wasn't doing anything. When he was on Randall Cobb, Randall Cobb wasn't doing anything. The second you took him off there, those guys ran fucking buck wild.
Yeah, Detroit is missing quite a bit of the back end of that defense right now, but they traded that away, so that's kind of their own fault. Prescott, 444 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game.
This is becoming a Dak Prescott offense. This is becoming a quarterback-heavy offense, which is the offense you need in this NFL.
Also, it's perfect timing for his wallet.
Oh, yeah. If I'm Dak Prescott's accountant...
This game, they can just put it up there and go like, all right, call us when your number's up around here.
You can play the last... So I saw a stat. This was interesting. Dak has had 3 400-plus yard games this year.
Damn.
In his entire career before this year, he had 3.
Okay.
This year, he's doubled the amount of 400-plus yard games he's had.
Oh, yeah.
And he has been fucking... dealing.
Mm-hmm.
He's been throwing it from weird arm angles. He's been finding himself out in the flat. He's been throwing steadily from the pocket. The Detroit Lions, poor Detroit Lions, couldn't get any pass rush going whatsoever. He stood there. He could have baked a cake.
And we saw what Cobb can be in Green Bay when he was there. He had 115 yards from here. Nothing to take anything away from Gallup either, but I think it's mostly Prescott that got him 148 yards this game.
I mean, Gallup was making some fantastic catches.
That one at the end there.
He has a couple.
Was so good.
Every once in a while, Michael Gallup will have a fucking circus catch.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, Randall Cobb will drop some easy fucking things. Mm. He had 2 pretty bad drops in this game that, when you think about that, could have inflated Prescott's numbers even more.
Oh, okay.
This team is fully loaded. After watching this game, I know we should beat the Lions. I know that's the plan. I know that's what was supposed to happen. But these Lions are 3-6-1, and they are better than that record.
Mm-hmm.
With Matt Stafford in there, I don't know if we would have won this game. But Matt Stafford wasn't in there, so suck my dick, Detroit.
Work him out. Stafford's probably going to miss about 5 weeks here, and at this point...
Shelve him.
Yeah, why put him in? What you saw of Driscoll, now you had 2 touchdowns in this game and ran one in. What'd you think of him?
Look good. He looks like a guy that deserves to be a quarterback in this league.
Number
not necessarily
two.
A starter, but he's a really solid number 2.
Okay.
If my team, if Dak Prescott next year comes in as the starter and we go, hey, Cooper Rush isn't exactly cutting it at number 2. We got this guy, Jeff Driscoll. I'd be excited.
Okay.
I'd be excited. Now, if they said, hey, we're not going to re-sign Dak Prescott, but we got Jeff Driscoll, I'd be like, motherfucker.
It's a little difference there. That's true.
It's a substantial difference. But Jeff Driscoll is stating by the past couple games, Yes, he can play in the NFL. Yes, he's got all the physical tools, and he's a bit of a scrambler.
Well, Lions lose this week, and they're not going to catch. They are mathematically eliminated from winning the division, but yeah, this one and a couple of these last few is definitely what they needed to stay in the race.
And with how hard, like, with the fact that Seattle and the Vikings are both not division leaders with both 8 wins,
yep,
that's fucking impossible.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in the NFC and you're not either of those two teams, pack it in, man.
Bad, yeah, it's, well, there's still a chance somebody catches those two teams, but we'll see how that goes.
It's narrow.
As we move
on. And it narrowed this week.
And then your Dallas Cowboys with their big win, they need that to stay ahead of the Eagles right now, but the Eagles did take a loss, so you're back to a game
but they
and
took
a
loss. They took a loss against a team that we're going to have to face pretty soon.
Oh,
and
very
they're
soon.
The fucking New England Patriots.
That's
so
right.
I wouldn't say that's much of a difference, you know. We're going to need to beat the Eagles head-to-head again.
Yeah.
That's the only
in
way to
Philly.
That's the only way to really lock this thing up is to beat Philly in Philly. If we beat Philly in Philly,
it's yours.
It's over.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't really matter what else happens in the
shouldn't. No.
It shouldn't unless the Philly Eagles would have to like win everything else out and it just doesn't make any sense.
When have they ever done? Oh boy.
Oh no.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have been in the playoffs last year when they got in.
But I feel good about this Cowboys team. I would have liked a bit more from the defense. Malik Collins is coming on. That's what I've been waiting for a long time. Robert Quinn is a fucking dynamo. And my secondary's got some problems now.
Yeah. Okay, so we do need to talk about that Cowboys-Patriots matchup. But first, let's talk about the Patriots beating the Eagles in Philly 17-10. This one was slow moving, one of those games you just kind of expected what ended up happening.
This game was boring as shit.
Other than, you know, Tom Brady not throwing the one only touchdown that they had in this
he
one.
He did not lead
Edelman.
His team in touchdown passes, which I thought was hilarious.
Really, that's the only outlier of this game. Otherwise, it's kind of what you'd notice. Oh, Eagles jumping out to 10-0 lead, though. I know you were hoping that they didn't win this, but it's tough. Like, did you think, oh, the Eagles got a shot here?
It looked like they did. It also looked very quickly like the Patriots went, oh, right, we're just going to hold your face in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Especially from the second quarter on, this Eagles team kind of disappeared offensively.
I wrote that same thing, that the offense has disappeared.
And because they figured it out. They like took your temperature, they took the first couple jabs, and then they figured out who the fuck you were, and they just sat on you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's scary about this Patriots defense is they can just fucking do that. They can kind of do that to everybody. They know that there's not a lot of weapons there in Philadelphia. But that being said, they took all of them away. They know that Carson Wentz right now is not the Carson Wentz of 2 years ago.
Right.
They know that, and they were able to kind of sit on him. This Eagles team at 5-5 feels very shaky.
Mm-hmm.
I know they went up against the Patriots, and we'll see what tune I'm singing next week when the Cowboys go up against him. But at 5-5, the Eagles absolutely needed this game, but it never felt like it was really within their grasp.
We were just talking about the playoff race in the NFC. Eagles are one of those teams, and I think the Carolina Panthers are the other one. One of those teams need to turn it up and like get on a hot streak now.
They need
for them
to win
to get a chance.
Out.
Almost, yeah.
Those two teams need to win out.
Or at least get a bunch of help.
You can't expect the Seahawks. Like, it is literally impossible because the Seahawks and the Vikings play one another.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally impossible for both of those teams to shit the bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One could really shit the bed, but it's mathematically very difficult for that to happen. You really only need one or two wins from either of those two teams to kind of sew this thing up.
And it might be quicker than that. Well, before we leave this game, because that's such a good segue, but before I talk about next week's games, a little bit on the Patriots side. Their defense showed up again big, 5 sacks, but their offense had to go with Nick Folk kicking 3 field goals for a while there. It was 9-10 at the halftime. They really couldn't get their offense going too much at all in this game.
No.
Got to be a little bit of a worry at this point.
Philly's defense is better than most people give it credit for.
I don't know. I watched the Vikings throw it over their head all game long.
The secondary is not.
Yeah.
The secondary is not, but their linebackers are still pretty good. Their pass rush is still pretty good. And that is what Tom Brady has always struggled with. If you can get pressure with a front four.
That's true.
And the Eagles can still generate that. That's always been his weakness. If you play man-to-man and you can get a four-man rush, Tom Brady will always struggle. If you play zone, Brady will destroy you.
So more of a matchup worry then?
This was more of a matchup worry for me. Yeah. Tom Brady very much, like, this is the same team that beat him
in the Super Bowl,
not because they didn't score a lot of points, but because they kept being able to answer the bell.
Yeah.
This felt like the Patriots wanted to control the means of production in this game and had to slow it down. Like, they weren't going to go on a fast break with these Eagles, who are capable of doing it. They were going to force them to grind it out, and they couldn't do it.
So, like I was saying, nice segue in here. We're talking about the Seahawks or the Vikings, one of them needs to, but well, the Seahawks are going to Philly this week. So this is where it begins, Philly. I think got to take this one to keep it keep pace in the NFC.
Yeah, not a fucking chance. And you know who I'm picking, Scott.
I do know who you're picking.
I will never pick these fucking Philadelphia Eagles if I can help it, and I like these Seahawks a ton. And the Seahawks are coming off of?
Bye week.
Exactly.
That's right.
Cannot wait till Philadelphia is 5-6, and the Cowboys beat the Patriots and go 7-4.
Russell Wilson hasn't played for a week. People started forgetting about MVP race, and somebody else jumped up there. So, yeah, he needs to show up and show up big. Yes, I believe Seattle will win this, half because I think they're a better team, the other half because I would want an Eagles win.
Exactly.
And how the playoffs are working out right now for the Vikings. So, I think Seattle takes this one. Dan, let's talk about your Cowboys going to New England playing the Patriots.
I said before, last week, said the Cowboys team very much feels like it's a team that could lose to a Matt Stafford-less Lions.
That's right.
And go in there and beat the New England Patriots.
You knew what was coming up.
We did not look fantastic defensively against these Lions.
Against Driscoll and no running game, yeah.
But you know what type of defense we play? We rush with four men. We play man coverage.
Okay.
I am picking a Cowboys upset.
Hey.
I'm picking them to beat the Patriots and give us a little bit of distance in this division so I can finally relax. I'm a new father. Let me relax.
Well, I like that positive outlook you got showing there. It's good optimism. Let me give you the stat. Dallas has not beaten New England since 1996 and has been outscored 135-61. Those stats are going to lead me to take the Patriots at home in this one.
All I'm hearing there is we're due.
That's right.
And I actually remember one of those games where the Patriots absolutely throat fucked us.
Ugh.
And it was brutal because they were just like, oh no, we're gonna grind you into paste.
We've all had those in the near future. Yeah.
I fucking hated them.
Yeah.
I fucking hated that game. And I was like, you know what? I cannot wait. Cannot wait till we get an opportunity to stick it back to these fucking Patriots. Can't wait. Let's do it in Foxborough.
Here it is. Here we go. A little bit, that Cowboys game, I saw they had you guys wearing your quote-unquote jinx blues.
Yeah, I mean, we were away, so that, they like to do that.
That was surprising, yeah, that Detroit, a team that really doesn't have, like, the the head-to-head against you, like, we're wearing our whites at home, getting Dallas's head.
Well, it's funny because that's the second consecutive game we've worn them. We wore them against you guys, and I was furious.
And it was your guys' choice there. Yeah, home team furious. Picks.
I was like, why the fuck are we wearing the Jinx Blues when we got an opportunity to not wear the Jinx Blues?
Little different. You guys had the Color Rush pants, the white ones.
Ah, who fucking cares? It's the Jinx Blues.
I know this stuff. All right. As we were talking about it, another name maybe popped up as the top for the MVP race, and I want to talk about that game. Ravens 41, Texans 7. This is a blowout. We put the Ravens blowout the week before in the 2-minute no offense, but I want to talk about these Ravens, man.
These Ravens, I have no questions about these Ravens right now. The only question is the same question that has dogged Lamar Jackson his entire career. Can a guy that is that thin and runs that much stay healthy?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, at this point, I don't care. I'm just fucking thrilled to watch him play football.
Yeah, can he last long enough? But it's like, well, he's going to last this year. And this year, he's doing amazing stuff all over the field. I mean, 27-0 into the fourth quarter. The Texans were never in this. Texans were supposed to be a team to rival them in the AFC. Yeah. Instead, nobody is playing as good as the Baltimore Ravens are right now. Nobody is playing more exciting football quarterback than Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is, you know, quarterbacks is what gets you the MVP. So honestly, in my head, he's leapfrogged to number one now.
I think so too. You need matchups like this against I don't want to call the Houston Texans an also-ran, but that's kind of how it feels this year, where it's like, well, are you going to beat the Patriots? I don't think so. Are you going to beat the Baltimore Ravens? Well, evidently not.
Yeah.
So you become an also-ran. But they're an also-ran with a really good quarterback,
mm-hmm.
who they just embarrassed.
I think the Texans could surprise anybody with a one-game thing, and that's what the playoffs are in the NFL, and that's sure. what makes them so great.
Exactly.
But they are such a Jekyll and Hyde team, you don't know what's going to show up.
And after this week, you have to say the Ravens are in a different class
yes.
than the Texans. That there can be no debate. You can go into this game being like, well, you know, these teams are kind of in the same area. This was a definitive reclassification of the AFC.
There were things that could have gone the Texans' way, that Hopkins screw up with a pass interference in the end zone.
That was pass interference clear as day.
So that makes it first and goal in the one. That really changes things. Fairbairn misses a field goal right before halftime, so it's 14-0 Ravens instead of at least some points on the board there. So it could have been 14-10 is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, there's some things in there where if things started differently for the Texans, maybe, but we're talking still 41 points given up by that defense. No J.J. Watt. It just feels like Texans are probably going to be playing one of these good teams on the road again, and it's not going to be enough for them in the playoffs.
I just don't think they have enough shells in the magazine, right. unfortunately. You know, this Ravens team, it's like, well, who are you going to throw it to? Well, we can throw it to fucking anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody needs to catch more than 40 yards, but we can throw it to literally fucking everybody. He threw to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different receivers in this game.
He also had, yeah, he had 4 touchdowns, and the passes looked pretty darn accurate,
too. Crisp!
Which I thought that was one of the knocks on Jackson, is like, well, he's not as very accurate, but...
Not if you go back and listen to the podcast okay. when I was scouting Lamar Jackson. Guys, I'm going to maybe pay for the Josh Rosen thing my whole life, but can I get some Lamar Jackson credit?
Yeah. No, this one definitely looks negative on my side, where I was the least excited about him, and man, is he showing up quite a bit now. Yeah, I got him as MVP. This Ravens team, now, I still believe that this Ravens team has to keep this going and has to get yeah. home field. I don't trust them to go into New England and beat a Belichick-led team.
I mean, I don't trust anybody to go into New England and beat the Patriots, except for these Dallas Cowboys next week. But it's so hard to play New England in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They are just used to it. The fans are used to it.
Seasoned.
It's an outdoor stadium. They know what that is. They have all those experiences already. You need advantages to beat the Patriots. And it's hard if you don't.
And you talk about how important it is to be a seasoned player in the playoffs and knowing it. Now, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson got in there last year, but they laid a big old egg against the Chargers.
Still experience.
So I hope that's enough experience, because I feel like it's not a guaranteed Patriots and Ravens AFC championship game like it probably should be. These teams got to win one to get there first, at True. Least one. I don't know. I think if the Ravens play like this, absolutely, but there's still five, six more games left.
They've got a couple easy ones coming.
Okay.
The Ravens have to play the Jets, the Browns, and the Steelers to end out their year.
And I don't know if it's even the competition. It's just more you have to keep playing like this, lights out like this.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is they have a running game that mm-hmm. is not just Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So that can carry them through the tail end of the season. In 6 more games, they might lose 3.
Okay.
They might lose 3 of these last 6, and they'll still handily have the division and be an 11-win team. Now, will that take them out of contention for number 1 in the AFC? I think it will. Is that where they need to be to make sure they beat the Patriots? Yeah, but the Patriots continue to play in the AFC East, which is a distinct advantage.
Yeah, no kidding. Fix it, Miami. Let's go, guys. All right. Speaking of the running game in Baltimore outside of Jackson, do you see Ingram in his press conference there?
He's going to fucking catch you outside. This is so great.
Now, number 1 quarterback and coming to the...
What the fuck was he doing with his hands?
I don't know.
I love it.
He looked like he had the murder eyes and everything, too.
I like Mark Ingram, though. I've always liked Mark Ingram.
I think Mark Ingram is very excited to be on this Ravens team. Coming from a very good Saints team, you're like, oh, maybe let down? No. He's having a blast.
And what a difference it is to play behind a guy like Lamar Jackson or play behind a guy like Drew Brees. Drew Brees, who is so exacting,
mm-hmm.
who is so specific, and Lamar Jackson, who is just so invigorating and exciting. It's got to help you as well. As a veteran running back, you've got to feel that extra bit of vim and vigor.
I mean, it's two different ways to play the position, but it's not like you can take anything away. We're talking last year, Breeze was the guy could have been MVP. Now Absolutely. He's playing for another quarterback who could be MVP.
Maybe it's Mark Ingram.
Maybe it's all about Mark Ingram. All right, let's talk less about that, more about all the rest of the games when we come back from the break. Thank you guys so much for being here this week. This is The Push Off. It's training. Welcome back, folks, from the break. This is The Push-Off. It means it's time for the two-minute no offense.
Because no offense, but if you find yourself in this portion of our program, it means that you're probably already out of the playoffs, or you just kind of had a stink-ass game.
Yeah, no, this week mostly is, these are teams that, yeah, fine, there was some excitement in these games, but it's not worth talking about.
It's over. It's over for them. I'm not excited about their prospects.
Not really, no. Okay, so let me know when you got that clock ready. We'll jump in.
And ready, but go.
I want to start with the Falcons beating the Panthers. This is two in a row for Atlanta, 29-3.
This told me more about the Panthers than it did about the Falcons. This okay. told me that the Panthers and the Kyle Allen experiment, there's enough film on him now that you start to realize why he wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's starting to get worried, too. Are we really okay with just letting Cam Newton leave now, Panthers?
Yeah, this changed the conversation dramatically in 1 week about Cam Newton's future with Carolina. And you know who's loving that? Cam Newton.
That's what happens when you throw four interceptions, Alan.
All
right, moving on. The Jets beat the Redskins 34-17. Dan, you and me both got this right, but you know who got it wrong?
Your mom?
My mom got it wrong.
Yeah.
That's the game.
I'll tell you what. This Redskins team is awful.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible. And Dwayne Haskins being like, what can I do? How can I help you protect me? Miserable. What yep. a miserable fucking team. And it couldn't have happened to a worse organization.
Dalton had a nice bounce back game in this one, as you do against the Redskins. He had four touchdowns. The Jets defense had six sacks. My man Jamal Adams had three himself.
I wish Jamal Adams was a Cowboy. Every week I'll wish he was a Cowboy.
And then Redskins fans trying to start the chant, sell this team, just there wasn't enough Redskins fans in the stands to get it going.
But good. The yeah. one thing that will make him sell it is if it stops being profitable.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're a fan of the team, you need to turn on him and turn on him.
Turn that spigot off. The dude is trying to milk you dry, and he's not giving you the product you deserve.
And then finally, Thursday night game, Steelers 7, Browns 21. Not much happened in this one.
No, this was pretty uneventful. I think we can move on.
All right, Browns had the 14-0 lead at the half. It brought it within one. Really, the game itself, yawn. And that was on Thursday, so it was such a long ago. But obviously, we're going to need to take time and talk about that fight. Do we still have time?
We still have 6 seconds.
Okay.
Because, oh my God, Myles Garrett yeah. was going to kill that man. that's all done on the 2 minute no offense. But now let's talk games. About an attempted murder.
Yeah. Obviously, Mason Rudolph did not press charges as he was given that opportunity. But the end of that game, yeah, the tackle, the fighting. First of all, what do you think of it, Dan?
So I think it was frustration upon frustration,
mm-hmm.
minor indiscretion upon minor indiscretion that led to, a legit assault.
Yeah.
It was a legit assault. We're having a very different conversation if Myles Garrett rips his helmet off, throws it, and punches Mason Rudolph in the face.
That's true, too.
We're having a conversation about, like, wow, did you see Mason Rudolph get fucking punched and Myles Garrett suspended for like a game or two?
Right.
Once you move to the point where you hit somebody with a fucking helmet in an uncovered head.
His helmet.
You hit a man with his own helmet.
Yeah.
Two things happen. One, you say, I'm done this year. The NFL did a good thing by suspending him indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Two, when Myles Garrett returns, he is a Cleveland Browns legend. So, this is like watching Happy Gilmore on the field. I'm the only guy that ever tried to stab somebody with his skate. I'm the only guy that ever tried to knock a Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback unconscious with his helmet.
I mean, the rivalry and stuff, so that makes sense. I just keep wondering, I'm like, God, Greg Williams has been gone for this team for a whole year.
Still in there.
And he's still happening.
Still dirty.
Myles Garrett also, you know, the same guy who broke the leg of the backup quarterback for the Jets when they were playing him there.
Mm-hmm.
He's... He's a dirty MF-er. What can I say?
I'll tell you this. You cannot expect, and we've talked about this before, you cannot expect these dudes to play like amped up psychopaths mm-hmm. and then be able to switch that shit off.
Yeah, whistle blows or something happens. And
that's crazier to me than like, hey, this guy was really aggressive on the field, and then when the whistle blows, he's still kind of aggressive. It's crazier to me to be able to be like, oh, and now I'm fine.
Yeah,
like,
shake your hand, well done, good play.
Something went wrong in you.
Especially on, like, the defensive side, right?
Yeah, so Myles Garrett is a former number one overall pick. There is not a chance the Browns cut him after this. That's not fucking happening.
Right.
This dude was also on pace to be a potential defensive player of the year before all this happened, and had a really good game against Pittsburgh.
This game all was already starting to head a bad way. Randall gets ejected with the helmet hit earlier. Mason Rudolph threw four interceptions, and a lot of them looked really bad. He had a real awful game even before getting smacked in the head with his own helmet. But that last play, a lot of people are pointing the finger at Mason Rudolph going like, well, this guy started it. Okay, I would completely agree. Yes, quote, he started it. Myles Garrett's tackling him to the ground. I don't even think he saw him pitch that ball out of his hand, so he thinks it's a sack. And then Rudolph, getting pissed off, is starting to shove Myles Garrett on the ground right around his neck and helmet area. So, yes, that started it. But that doesn't give Myles Garrett the right to pick him up by his face mask and helmet, tear it off, and start flinging it at him.
I think it gives him the right to tear his helmet off.
Do you?
I do. I think if this whole thing had stopped after he tore Mason Rudolph's helmet off, I would have been like, Myles Garrett did what he needed to do.
There might not have been a flag thrown then, yeah.
I mean, there would have been a flag thrown because you can't rip a man's helmet off.
I don't know. They were both ripping each other's helmet off, separate them.
So I think that's the difference, is when Mason Rudolph gets tackled and he puts his hand around Myles Garrett's throat.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
I would go black. And Myles Garrett talked about it. He's like, man, I just kind of blacked out there. He's like, I went red. And
I heard that was Pouncey that said that he blacked out. And Pouncey ran over there to...
And he was kicking him, yeah.
To get Rudolph's side, and he shoves him down. Yeah, kicking
no, Pouncey's Myles a Garrett piece of in the shit. Face. Pouncey's a piece of shit. He remembers every single thing that he did.
He got suspended for 3, I think.
But if somebody put their hands around my neck during a football game, especially after I just did a form tackle...
Yeah, it was clean there.
And it was a clean tackle. If I just did a clean tackle and this person on the pile is using their weight and their leverage to put their hands around my neck, I would freak the fuck out, especially if I outweighed that person by 40 pounds and they had the audacity to do that to me.
Nah.
I would flip shit, and I would put my hands in their fucking face mask and tear their fucking helmet off.
Okay.
That's exactly what Myles Garrett did. Bravo, Myles Garrett, up until that point.
Up until...
Then Villanueva comes over and is like, hey, man, it's over. And Myles Garrett is actually getting talked down. Mason Rudolph makes the dumbest fucking choice to, if you just dodge a charging bull, are you going to be like, hey, bull, fuck you? Or are you going to get the fuck out of the ring?
Right.
He decides he still wants his pound of flesh. And Myles Garrett went, get out of here, whack-a-mole. That was the point he crossed the line.
With
up
another
that,
offensive lineman shoving him off, he still is able to get that blow-in on his head. Gosh. And then some other Browns player comes over and just levels him, too. Now, he got a game suspension.
Larry Ogunjobi.
Yeah. So, two Browns players get suspended, one Steelers player. Plenty of fines happening, even fines for people who left the sidelines in this one. Just an ugly way to end a Thursday night game.
But it's a Thursday night game. That's how you got to end them. You know?
They're ugly all through way through. They might as well end ugly. I get that point.
What this demonstrated for me is that Freddie Kitchens also needs to get fired.
Yeah.
He has zero control over this team. You know, Todd Haley mentioned the same thing, and I hate agreeing with Todd Haley because he's a kind of a shit cake, but this team has no control.
Well, and then they asked him the questions in the press conference thing, and they're like, you know, you were kind of condoning fighting earlier, and he'd like very defensive. I don't condone fighting. I've never condoned fighting. I told him, you know, let's get up on it. Let's go to war kind of thing. I don't condone fighting. It's like, again, you're a head coach and you're going to get these questions. You got to have some thicker skin than that.
Well, he's very thin skinned. That's the problem. He is we talked about it before. He is a important football man and he feels that way about himself. But you know who doesn't feel that way about him? Anybody on his team. He's not getting the respect of the players. If this is the team he's trying to build, is a team that at the end of a game where they clearly kick the shit out of the other team, loses their fucking mind, it means he's got them wired too tight.
Yeah,
and this team leads the league in penalties. They lead the league in penalties, and they don't lead the league in wins. So you can't tell me you're improving this offense and defense.
There it is. Yeah, no, that's a very good point there, and a nice overlook on how the Cleveland Browns season has been. Let's hit the rest of these games here from Week 11. Yep. First of all, a couple of them coming up this week. We can talk about the Detroit Lions going to Washington to play the Redskins.
Oh, boy. It doesn't matter who the quarterback of the fucking Detroit Lions is. These Redskins are going to get rolled.
Yeah, Redskins don't have any need to win, don't care to.
Don't want just, to.
Don't worry, they'll get out of there in about 2.5 hours. And then the Miami Dolphins going to Cleveland play the Browns.
You know what? I honestly think the Miami Dolphins are going to win this game.
You're picking the Dolphins,
I'm picking the Dolphins in Cleveland because Cleveland is just, they're shell-shocked.
Yeah.
I feel like they're shell-shocked, and like I said, there's no team control. Brian Flores, I think, is like, ah, fuck. We gotta face the Browns after this.
Yeah.
I feel like we're gonna win again. God damn it!
The Browns should win this, but if they don't, then maybe Freddie Kitchens doesn't see the end of the season. I'll take the Browns at home here, but I get it. It's one of those just messy games.
This to me is a toss up. I'm just gonna take the Miami Dolphins team that might be more fun.
Okay, there you go. We got something different. Let us discuss. The New Orleans Saints going to Tampa, and this time they're not getting beat by a Buccaneers team that's much less not their rival. 34-17. Obviously, they got some help with Jameis Winston's 4 interceptions as well.
What are we still doing with Jameis Winston?
I will argue that 2 of them weren't his fault.
Sure, but what are we doing with Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
You know, like, really, what are we doing?
He's finishing up because you got the computer from me. Who's the backup in Tampa Bay?
I am.
Oh, well, I don't want to see you out there.
Why? I deserve to sling the rock a little bit.
Yeah, you might throw less interceptions, but you probably won't throw as many yards.
Oh, you know what? That's probably true, and I don't even take offense. That's
No, this was a Saints team that was like, shit, we're the Saints. Let's just get this figured out. They scored points on their first 4 drives of this game. They went up 20-0. It was 20-7 at half. And the Buccaneers aren't a team that can come back from 20-0. I'm just sorry. Not everybody is.
We don't all have it.
Uh-uh.
Blaine Gabbert is the backup there.
Oh.
In Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Do you need to see any more of Blaine Gabbert?
No, you don't. But there are other backups, a guy named Ryan Griffin, who's just been kind of sitting around on that team almost the entire time Jameis Winston has been there, too.
That's not the name of the tight end in New York Jets, is it? Anyway.
No. I mean, either
it's
way.
It's another Griffin.
Yeah, it's just the most benign fucking name. There's no way any of those guys move the needle for this team at all. But they're done. The Buccaneers are done. They need a new quarterback.
Yeah. Do they need we just had the Kangle join there. So, yeah, he'll get another chance here with the new quarterback and hope the offense
catches back up. And he deserves one. This defense doesn't – God, the Buccaneers don't look good.
No.
But the Buccaneers didn't look good last year. And – Jameis Winston just sticking around doesn't help anything. It almost doesn't. If you ever try to go like, hey, is this water clean? And you go, oh, I know, I'll put some food coloring in it. What, is it clean? Oh, I don't know, but it's colored food.
Look, it looks blue now.
That's kind of what Jameis Winston does, where it's like, I don't know what the water is, but I know it's a different shade than it should be.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's just something in it murkying this stuff, so I can't get a real clear picture of what it actually is.
This game very much, for me watching it, felt like the one for Buffalo and Miami.
Yeah.
One team much ahead of the other one. They brought it within 10 in the second half, but that was as close as they were going to get. I mean, the Saints went back to what the Saints are. Breeze, Kamara, Thomas. Just try to stop these three, and you can't.
It's impossible. Can't. Like, they are a more talented team.
Well, it's
had a better gameplay.
It wasn't impossible against the Atlanta Falcons last week, but I feel
the Atlanta Falcons absolutely shocked them.
Yeah, the Saints, if they get back to playing like this, then yeah, they're going to be another top team in the NFC once again for the fourth year
to be feared. Always to be feared. There's enough talent there. They're just really fucking good.
I mean, that's what I have for this game. Winston didn't get his wide receivers go until the second half, and as close as they got, it was 27-17 at one point.
And that's what this deserves to be. These Tampa Bay Buccaneers deserve to be a 4 or 5 win team, and they deserve to go back in and try to get another quarterback because Jameis Winston is not the answer.
So the NFC South has a little incestual games of week 12. It is Panthers at Saints and Buccaneers at Falcons. They're playing themselves this week.
I cannot see these fucking Panthers beating this Saints team.
Especially in New Orleans.
No.
This is, I mean, and after the Panthers have dropped that as bad as that one was last week, they kind of need to get right, and this is a bad time for this one happening.
Yeah, this is. It feels like it's slipping away for them. You know, we talked about, well, these Panthers have got to win out if they want to get a chance. Well, you've got the Saints this week, so yeah. Good fucking luck.
Yeah, it's obviously I'm taking the Saints too, especially at home, especially with how they've been playing here this last week. But if you Carolina, goddamn it, do you need this one more than anything right now?
But they don't have it. I don't
divisional
think they have
matchup. Them. So
I don't. I just don't think they've got the juice, man.
I don't think so either. But anything can happen.
True.
That's why they play the games
any given Sunday.
That's right. And how about Tampa at Atlanta?
Oh, God, this 2 weeks ago, if you'd asked me this about Tampa Bay, You know what? Atlanta's on a hot streak. Atlanta is fucking themselves by being on a hot streak.
Came back from that bye week. Are they going to save Quinn's job?
They're not going to save Quinn's job.
I bet they could. I'm saying it's possible.
So they have to win out to save his job. And they're not going to do that because I have them losing to Tampa Bay this week. A bit of a surprise, but I have them losing to Tampa Bay this week.
Here's what I know about the Atlanta Falcons is last year I picked them to win the division and they bottomed the hell out. Then this year, I was like, they're going to get better. They'll be a wild card team behind those Saints. And what do? They bottomed out again to the point where I was like, all right, they're one of the five worst teams. I'll put them in number five. And then since then, they go, we're just going to keep proving Scott wrong. The Atlanta Falcons are my Miami Dolphins of our first year in this podcast. Yep. You remember that one?
I do.
I'll take the Falcons in this game at home. But obviously, that means you're going to get some firing cannons happening.
I cannot wait to fire these cannons this week.
All right.
Well, I haven't been able to do it a lot this year.
We'll see how it goes there, but we have a different one in the NFC South for the bottom feeders as they are the Bucks and the Falcons.
Oh, they really are bottom feeders.
All right, let's talk about that awesome game in San Francisco between the Arizona Cardinals. Now, it ended 26-36.
Wasn't that close.
No, it was not. The go-ahead touchdown was with 30 seconds left in this one.
This game was fun as shit.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals can move the ball on this Niners team. In fact, Kyler Murray, here's a stat, the only quarterback with over 100 QB passer rating against the Niners is Kyler Murray, and he's done it both times.
He has. The issue with him, though, is that he widens that defense out more than they want to be widened.
Yeah, and spreads them.
It's not like he's thrown for 300, 400 yards. He threw for less than 150 yards passing.
Yeah.
But he was picking them apart in these little tiny moments. He rushed for 67 yards, had a touchdown, threw for 150, had a touchdown. That's a pretty solid Kyler Murray game.
Yeah.
But Garoppolo absolutely turned this thing on in the second half and was able to put this team on his fucking back.
Garoppolo over 400 yards passing, four touchdowns. That sounds great. He did have two interceptions, and at least one of those was like, who
what
was
the fuck
that?
Are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, who was that ball too? So that's the one thing that worries me about Garoppolo, especially watching this game close, is when does he do that in a big one?
I mean, he will.
Yeah.
He will. Garoppolo, actually, strangely enough, this is a Northern Illinois thing maybe, but he reminds me a lot of Tony Romo.
Okay.
Where I feel like the fucking axe is going to fall on him one of these weirds, and he's going to keep putting up stats, but we're always going to look at Jimmy Garoppolo and be like, you might be able to snake bit, but might be able to snake bit.
Yeah, maybe.
But you know who is not snake bit? Debo.
Debo Samuel. That was one of the big ones that I liked coming in to this season as a rookie to make some action. Now, it took him to the second half of the season, but he certainly is now.
Oh, he's absolutely turning it on.
Yeah, 134 yards in this game. Very nice. Some tight end named Dwelly got two touchdowns, too.
Yeah, it was funny. Dwelly was one of those guys where you're looking at, oh, God, what's the fucking guy's name? The good tight end out of Iowa.
Why is this Hockenson?
No, not Hockenson.
Fant?
No.
Wait a minute.
George Kittle.
Oh, sure.
Greg Kittle.
Tight end university there.
Yeah, so Kittle being out for a couple weeks now gave rise to, maybe this is just an offense that takes advantage of the tight end
situation.
Yeah,
that does really well with tight ends,
and
absolutely.
They, boy, did they.
And then the other side of the ball, the Arizona Cardinals, David Johnson, how quickly things change here. He was active in this game, but he only was in the field for 9 snaps, and he never touched the ball.
David Johnson has fallen off a cliff as well. You know, as a running back, you should have more juice than, 2 years.
Well, now, given the head coach has changed on him now twice since him being there in his short career, is it maybe just that he doesn't fit in the scheme type of thing? But he can do, he's like an every down, can do everything back.
Do you remember when Jordan Howard got traded for peanuts?
Oh yeah, that just happened.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I feel like he's going to get traded for peanuts because he's still got that decent contract.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's got more to give than he's going to be capable of giving in Arizona.
God, Cardinals should have done that before the trade break here. They got some big draft picks.
I don't think they knew it was going to be this bad. Okay. I don't think they knew he was going to fit this poorly into their offensive system.
Something to watch moving forward. But yeah, this game, very close. Cardinals had it close all game and led 26-23. Then Garoppolo throws that fourth touchdown of the game with 30 seconds left.
Looked fucking so good. Mm-hmm. It was such a good fucking throw. God, I loved it.
It was cool. I was hoping for a Cardinals upset, but...
I wasn't.
You were, yeah.
No, because I want the Cardinals to suffer still because of Steve Keim. But I want this 49ers team to be as good as can possibly be. I like the fact that the NFC is a murderer's row at the top of the division.
That's kind of neat. Let's say this... let's say the bye weeks go to one of the three teams out there, the Niners, Saints, and I'll even put Packers in there, not my Vikings. It's one of those three, and your Cowboys win week one to go to one of these teams in a bye week. Of those three, which one do you want to play at?
San Francisco.
Right? Why is that?
So because
that's what's in my head, too.
I don't trust San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I'm like, hey, good for you, way to do this thing. The fact that these fucking Cardinals have given them a run for their money twice makes me feel like they're beatable. You know,
plus a January game in Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers, and then
I don't want to do that shit.
January loud ass game in the Superdome.
So if you told me that the Cowboys could face the Packers and it was literally just Aaron Rodgers against 11 men on defense, I'd be like, no, that's fine. I'll take the Niners because he's the devil. Yeah, I'm not going to play the devil. We talked about this all the time. Uh-huh. I'm not playing the fucking devil. You keep me as far away from Aaron Rodgers as you can.
Yeah.
You let Russell Wilson play that motherfucker like 3 or 4 more times. You do not touch me with Aaron Rodgers. Don't do it.
So, next week, the Flex Sunday Night Football game, we both Niners fans?
I mean, I'm rooting Niners, but I also want to see... Because here's the thing. When the devil isn't talking to me, the devil is pretty beautiful. There's some things he does that are just marvelous.
Yeah, but what a game. Packers at 49ers.
Oh, cannot wait.
Who are you going to take?
So, I'm going to take the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take the... Because I can't extend that lack of trust...
Yeah.
To the 49ers and go, well, yeah, but I'm going to take them in this game. I think the Packers are a better team.
Yeah.
I think the Packers have had a tougher road to hoe than these 49ers have. And without George Kittle, I think that's a big loss, too. I don't know if Kittle's going to play this game.
That's true. Kittle is up in the air right now. Yeah, no, Green Bay's gotten healthier. They're also coming back from a bye week now, too. So that's also very helpful for him to go to San Francisco. God damn it, I'll be a Niners fan in this one, but... I already made up my mind before this, too. I think the Packers are going to take this one. Again,
but you're picking?
I'm taking the Packers.
You're taking the Packers,
yeah,
okay.
Because I believe they're going to take it. Maybe it's because I think the talent's there and they're a little healthier right now. Maybe it's because, again, when I want it to happen that way, it's going to go the other way. So I'll take that, too. The Cardinals are going to their bye week, week 12. This is the last week for bye weeks.
And now it's, oh, man.
Yeah.
God, there's just going to be 16 games every single fucking week.
Oh, boy.
So we luckily, a lot of those are going to be 2-minute no offense here at the back end.
Yeah. We got a few more to get through here from week 11, Dan, so let's punch them. How about the Sunday night game from last week? The Chicago Bears in L.A., they lose 7-17.
What a piece of shit quarterback game this was.
It was Yeah.
I mean, God damn it. I got to watch Jared Goff and Mitch Trubisky throw the football around. Just... piss in my face.
Other than Todd Gurley, this was a bad offensive game all the way around.
Oh, yeah. Todd Gurley was ripping off 10-yard runs, 10-yard runs, 12-yard runs.
Yeah, he looked as good as he's had in a long time, maybe until last season's run. But that being said, yeah, it was the Rams handing the ball to the Bears early on, going, go ahead, take the lead. You guys want to? Go ahead.
Mitch was like, no, I insist.
And Eddie Pinheiro didn't help either. 2 missed field goals, and they just throw that camera into
Matt Nagy's face.
Like... This also, if you think about it, Matt Nagy, Coach of the Year last year. 2 years before that, it was Coach of the Year for the Rams.
And McVay.
Thank you, Sean McVay. These are supposed to be the offensive minds, right? This was supposed to be it.
I think it's funny because you're looking at both of these teams going, which one ran out of tricks to cover his shit-ass quarterback first. And I think it's, I think Trubisky is a worse quarterback than Jared Goff. It pains me to say that. Oh. It pains me to say that someone is worse than Jared Goff.
But going in, if we go back and listen, because these were two different years they were drafted, we go back and listen to those tapes, are we going to be, you going to be correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Jared Goff is a better, Jared Goff was a better prospect than Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
Jared Goff had a late first round grade.
Okay.
Mitch Trubisky had a late second round grade.
Okay. All right.
And it was, it's noticeable because you can see there's things that Jared Goff does where you're like, you're a first round quarterback. I don't think he's number one overall. I never thought he was that.
Mm.
I never thought he was as good as everybody painted him to be. But you look at Mitch Trubisky and you go, you still have the same fucking problems you had in college. No one has fixed that shit.
Yeah.
It felt like, have you ever had a leak in your ceiling and you go, oh shit, well, let's cut that ceiling out and let's put up new drywall. It's like, did you fix the fucking leak? Because you're going to have to replace that in a couple like days anyway. That feels like what Matt Nagy did all last year.
Mm.
Where he's like, I put new drywall on that bitch. You don't see a leak anymore. It's like, no, but there's still a leak. But you don't see it. You're starting to see that ceiling cave in a little bit on these Bears.
4 minutes left in this game. The Rams take that 10-point lead. And so the next quarterback we see out there is Chase Daniel and not Mitchell Trubisky. He says at the presser that Trubisky's injured his hip, so that's why I pulled him out. How much of this do you believe?
I believe 0% of it. I talked about this, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite halftime speeches ever is Ed Reed in Miami.
Oh, right.
When he played for the University of Miami. And they're like, Ed, you doing okay?
I'm hurt.
Fuck no, I ain't all right. I'm hurt. Let's do this fucking thing. Everybody's fucking hurt all the time. Everybody in the NFL is hurt all the time. And we talked about how easily you can fail a physical if you want to in the NFL. Mitch Trubisky's hip was bothering him. Yeah. You know what else was bothering him? His complete ineptitude. That was bothering him too. And that might be a fatal flaw. All Matt Nagy wants is for Chase Daniel to have one moderately successful game. And he can say, we're done with this Trubisky thing. We'll go back to the drawing board next year. Because that's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, we are a little over a week away from Thanksgiving, where Bears Lions is coming out. Isn't that gonna, something to see for everybody here nationwide. So enjoy that one, guys. No Stafford, Trubisky or no Chase Daniel. Who get, you know,
Chase Daniel could beat that Lions team and Mitch Trubisky's career. He could end his career by having an acceptable game.
I don't know.
There's no reason at this point to think Trubisky will ever be other than what he is.
True, but is there a reason to continue with Chase Daniel even if he does look okay here?
Yeah, to keep Mitch Trubisky off the field.
To keep Trubisky off. I think you're seeing a new quarterback in Chicago outside of these two guys next year.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Because these Bears are not bad enough to get a top 10 pick.
No.
They're just not.
Well, plus they're not going to because they traded all their first-round picks to the Raiders.
Oh, right. So they're just trapped.
In fact, right now, the stats are that the Bears and the Raiders this season have the same amount of sacks.
Ooh.
Yeah, then that hurt. And we're just about to talk about the Raiders game. But first, let's talk about the games for next week. The New York Giants go to Chicago. They're playing the Bears.
Oh, God, the Bears may win this game.
Right?
Yeah, but you know what? Daniel Jones may wind up surprised. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to take the Giants in this game.
Okay, I was going to like jump ahead and like I'm taking the Bears. So if you wanted,
I'm taking the Giants. I'm still behind a little bit. I think this Giants team has Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
who is one of the more impressive running backs in the NFL physically. If Daniel Jones can throw against this secondary, who may not be able to get a consistent pass rush against him, if they can get Saquon Barkley going, I'm not afraid of this Bears offense at all. And you know what the fucking Giants have been able to do? Throw and score on anybody.
That's true, but you also talked about if they can't get the pass rush going. One thing that Daniel Jones is awful with is people in his face.
Oh, yeah, turns that ball the fuck over.
The Bears are going to hopefully just blitz the hell out of him is what they'd want to do here. I think the Bears win it no matter who's starting at quarterback, whether it's a hip injury or not. I'll take the Bears in Chicago and against a pretty bad Giants team.
This is an upset special for me.
There you go. Let's also talk about the Monday night football game. Those unstoppable Baltimore Ravens are going to L.A. They're playing the Rams.
Yeah, there's not a fucking chance I'm taking the Rams over my boy, my son. Lamar Jackson.
The games Lamar Jackson's had, now we get a primetime one to watch him. Oh, boy. I'm excited to see what he shows.
Yeah. Plug in. Get ready.
Obviously, I'll take Ravens, too. Yeah, I don't see this changing for me. All right, Dan, let's talk about those Oakland Raiders that we were just talking about. They just won in at home against the Bengals. 10-17, the same score of that Eagles and Patriots game.
Tough game. They were getting in their own way a lot in
Raiders,
this game.
Yeah.
This Raiders team is more talented than this Bengals team, but it also felt like they were just trying to give this game away, and the Bengals were like, no, we want to be 0-10.
Yeah.
That's fine. You can have this one. We don't need it from you. The second half was really terrible. Mm-hmm. Was just sloppy play on both sides, and like nobody was getting anything going. Ryan Finley, poor bastard, threw 31 times, completed 13 of them for 115 yards.
Yeah.
If you're auditioning for a starting role next year, Ryan, not going well.
Is a rookie quarterback coming into the worst, if maybe not the Redskins, one of the worst teams in this league. It's hard to blame a lot of this on him. Now, he's not turning any heads, and I don't think he's going to be a starter anytime soon. But this Raiders team could very well be a wild card in the AFC now. Now we got to start talking about them that way. They had 5 sacks in this game. Max Crosby for himself.
Yeah, Crosby looked like a really good. I think he was a fourth round pick.
Yeah, he
that
showed
kid's
up.
Been solid.
I want to talk about the fumble that Carr had, and then it was picked up by Marshall Newhouse. Did you see this? Starts running.
Poor Marshall Newhouse.
All you see is a little blur, and then he is upended and floating through the air. I'm like, how does a little guy hit a big guy in that way that makes a big guy fly?
He hit him perfect.
His leg just with him.
Poor Marshall Newhouse had so much momentum going.
You pick that up, and you're a big guy. You never have the ball, and he tucks it in like he's a running back. I'm going to take this to the house.
The best part about offensive lineman gloves is that they can't close their hand entirely.
The ball's so big.
It just looks so ridiculous. And poor Marshall Newhouse, if you haven't seen it.
I've watched it multiple times.
If you listen to the podcast and you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Look at Marshall Newhouse. My God, it's just precious.
Fumble recovery. Yeah, look it up.
Ugh.
Bengals, like you said, are 0-10. Dan, they are eliminated from playoff contention.
No.
This is the earliest a team has been eliminated, week 11, since 2002. Neither of the 0-16 Lions or Browns were eliminated this early.
They played in much worse divisions.
It must be. Yeah, this is rough. This is real rough for the Bengals and for the NFL.
Legitimately, Zach Taylor might not have a job next year. This team has looked so bad, and if you're the offensive guru, your best opportunity to save your job was to make Ryan Finley look all right.
Yeah.
God, they look fucking bad. Joe Mixon had a good game, though.
Mixon finally getting the end zone. That was the first rushing touchdown by a running back for the Bengals this year.
God, it's been pathetic.
Only rushing touchdown. I think there was like 2 or 3, and it was all by Dalton until then. Yeah, the Bengals are just bad, and probably for the rest of the year, you'll be seeing their games in the 2 minute, no offense. Next week, they have the Steelers coming to Cincy.
That might actually be a fun game, though. It's going to be a 2 minute, no offense, absolutely, but it might be fun.
Bengals and Steelers hate each other, so we'll see how that works out, but I'm taking the Steelers.
I'm taking the Steelers, too. At this point, I cannot pick the Bengals to beat anybody.
No.
Except for maybe the Redskins.
I think they've already played. I don't know. Either way, yeah.
They still got the Dolphins.
How about the Raiders at New York playing the Jets?
I'm picking the Raiders. I feel like the Jets very much could surprise them. This is kind of a toss-up game for me. Because like we've said, the Jets have some talent there. They just looked really poorly coached. And the Raiders look like there's some talent there, and they look like they've been pretty well coached. So it's a long way to travel.
Yeah.
It's really tough. People forget. We don't forget. We talk about it a lot. But that's a big drop. I think that's like a one touchdown difference. Is going from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Yeah, that's the one thing that worries about me, too. Jets have been playing better than when they really bottomed out this season. However, I think the Raiders won their game in London against the Bears. Mm-hmm. They won in Indy. I mean, that's not fully across the country, but it's pretty darn close. I think the Raiders have enough talent here to win this one, too, so I'll take the Raiders. Yep. Two road teams are taking on that one.
Yeah, how about it?
All right, let's talk about the Monday night game. The Chiefs beat the Chargers 24-17. Tight game. Once again, Phillip Rivers, red-faced, dragging his team down the field just to throw an interception in the end zone, but oh boy.
I think it might be time to send the old cowboy out to pasture.
I know. It's sad to say it, but after this game, 353 yards, okay, but one touchdown and four interceptions. I don't know if Rivers has any anymore.
I don't think he does. I feel like this team is talented enough, but Phillip Rivers continuously puts this team in bad positions.
Mm-hmm.
He went 28 for 52. That's not good enough. Four interceptions is a fucking killer.
And he's
the fact that they were in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brutal.
He's got weapons here. Gordon had 100 yards total from scrimmage. Eckler with 108. Like, there's help even in his backfield there. And a couple of wide receivers that can make just amazing catches.
Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are fucking delicious.
Yeah.
If I was a free agent quarterback and all of the NFL teams' spots were available, the Chargers would be a top five destination for me.
Yeah, that's not hard to disagree with there. But again, it's not enough in a game that I don't even know if they needed it. Their season is going to end on the wrong side of 500, I think. You got the Chiefs winning this one that they desperately needed. The Raiders were tied with them heading into this game, so they'll get the half-game lead now again. The Chiefs' offense really took to the second half to get going. Till that deep pass to Kelsey for the touchdown, the only Mahomes touchdown, I added my questions if the Chargers were going to sneak out there with the win.
Yeah.
Maybe this had to do with it being in Mexico City.
Mexico.
And all of the high altitude and stuff they have to deal with. A lot of people leaving this game hurt. Tyreek Hill went out real early. They lost running back Shady McCoy later in the game too. Mahomes led his team in rushing. Like, he had to kind of drag them across this winning thing, but it was enough in the end.
This Chiefs team has gone from team I'm worried about to team that will lose in the first round of the playoffs, which for Chiefs fans is par for the course.
Oh.
I'm sorry, it's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, this team just doesn't feel dangerous anymore. Pat Mahomes definitely feels dangerous, but this team doesn't feel dangerous.
They need to get healthy, and it's not a guarantee that everybody will be back and healthy at the times they need them. And now it looks like they might get one home game, but they probably, the bye week's slipping away. That's a chance for them. In the AFC, that's huge. They both go to bye week, though, next week, Chiefs and Chargers. So Chiefs has a chance here to get healthy, and that's, I think, what they got to hang their hat on.
They do. That's the only thing. You can kind of hope you get a recharge here, but best-case scenario, maybe an 11-win team, probably a 10-win team.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not enough.
I don't think so either.
And they've got a rough road to hoe here.
Is that right?
The back end. They've got the Raiders are coming to them after the bye week.
That's right.
And that's tough, but you should be able to beat that team. Then you got to go to the Patriots. Then luckily you get the Broncos, who probably won't be interested in winning that game.
Is that in Kansas City?
That's in Kansas City. Okay. I feel like that's the KC win. You go to the Bears, who at that point will be surrender.
Is that right?
Full Jeez. Surrender.
Damn.
And then the Chargers at the end of the season, which the Chargers may just do that to be petty.
Mm.
They may make it difficult. But these Chiefs could win the next five games.
Yeah.
Or they could win two of them, or they could win three.
It's those divisional ones, honestly. That's what's going to come down to.
It's a toss-up.
In fact, if the Raiders end up winning in New York, like we're talking about, then they're going to be talking about that being for the lead in the division again, mm-hmm. coming right off the bye. So it won't end for the Chiefs. Yeah, the easy games don't show up. All right, Dan, we've got one more game to discuss this week. It is the Jacksonville Jaguars losing to the Colts. This was the only one you and me picked wrong.
It's true.
Differently, and I picked it correct, took the Colts. Foles' first game back just wasn't enough.
Big Dig Nick was rusty.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell just the way he was throwing the ball. I mean, he was accurate, but he was missing some easy throws. He still threw for 296 yards.
Yeah, two touchdowns, one pick.
I wasn't impressed. Leonard Fournette could not get going. It almost felt like, hey, Nick, it's been a while. Why don't you throw the shit out of the ball and let's forget our offensive mentality and not run that thing at all?
You're right. That's the Jaguars. That's what they should be, is play strong defense and control the ball on the ground. But instead, yeah, they had to count on Foles a little too much because they fell behind. I mean,
but this game was by no means over. Like, the fact that Leonard Fournette, the entire game, had eight carries.
Yeah.
He had eight carries the whole game. This first half was 10-7.
Yeah, it was close in the first half. Into the fourth quarter was 7-31. Colts started off that second half so fast. But first of all, sticking with the Jaguars, they're finding a weapon. DJ Chark, 104 yards, two touchdowns. He's number one with a bullet now.
Who else was talking about DJ Chark during their scouting podcast, but right here at the push-off?
There it is again. And I think, this is Nick Foles coming back from a bad injury, a brand new team. He probably doesn't even have the connections with these receivers yet. Just not enough practice time yet. So I'd be interested to see how he progresses with this team, but they need to get him more weapons. And at the same time, that defense is not the shade they once were, I don't think, either.
At this point, though, does it really make a lot of sense to keep a guy like Nick Foles in there? Like, you may need to get some reps for him, but it's now Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew. You feel like you've got your heir apparent and you've got your big money quarterback. This team, at best, is what? A 7-win team?
Well, I'm not ready to say that they need to move on from Nick Foles this season. At least see what he is the rest of this season, because they're not going anywhere, and you just gave him that huge contract, and I don't know if there's wiggle room out of that.
There is. It's very front-loaded. That's what they got to do. That's how they got him to sign it.
See, that's disappointing then to lose out on all that just because he was injured for half the year. I think you get still. Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, then put some games in his hand and see how he reacts here in the last five, six. But
they could go on an absolute fucking tear, because the end of their schedule is Titans, Buccaneers, Chargers, Raiders, Falcons, Colts. They might be able to win three or four of those and make themselves probably the fourth worst team in this division still, but maybe 7-9.
And then the Colts, I don't know if they want to win this division or not. They seem to have the shot to, though. Brissett's back. He seemed healthy enough. He didn't seem like he was hobbling too much on that knee. I ran a touchdown in with his passing one. He did have an interception. And then they ran the ball very well. Now, Mac broke his hand, so he might be out for maybe the rest of the season.
But Jonathan Williams led the team in rushing.
Yeah,
so and they still have Nyheim Hines.
Yes, and I think Nyheim Hines is their number one running back, but Jonathan Williams was lightning in the bottle there at the end of that game. Maybe that's fresh legs, but damn it, it's a good Jaguars defense. So
true.
The Jaguars get the touchdown at the end there and tried for the 2-point conversion, and it actually goes back the other way. So the Colts, that's why it ended 33-13. But and that was that game.
This game, it just wasn't as exciting as I wanted it to be. You know, it felt like, the first half was like poorly played, and then the second half was all Colts and it was over.
Yeah. Yeah, divisional game, but the Jaguars weren't ready to play a full 60, so.
Didn't answer the bell.
They do go to Tennessee. They're playing the Titans this week, Jaguars.
I'm taking the Titans this week. They're coming off a bye week, so they're ready to go, and I just don't see the Jaguars really turning it around this year, and I think it's better for them to lose a couple more games and get a better draft pick.
Yeah, Titans usually can beat the Jaguars, at least at home. These teams kind of split around each other quite a bit. I'm surprised it's not on Thursday night. Usually, usually Jaguars Titans makes a Thursday night. I think maybe it was the one in Jacksonville that did. No, the Thursday night game, the game happening tomorrow, is Colts at Texans. What do you think about this one?
This is interesting. I'm going to take the Texans.
Didn't realize it's the NFC South teams playing each other and the AFC South teams playing each other. Look at that this week.
I'm going to take the Texans at home. I think that's the difference. I think that's the only difference. Otherwise, this is a very evenly matched team. And both of these teams, 6-4, one coming off a bad loss, one coming off a pretty resounding win. But the Texans absolutely need this. If they don't win this game, I think the division goes to the Colts.
Yeah.
If the Texans win this game, though, that doesn't necessarily mean the Colts are out of it.
Yeah.
But if the Colts win this game, I think it's over.
Well, it becomes a bigger one for the Texans because it's in Houston. Deshaun Watson is going back to doing what drives me nuts when watching him is I'm going to hike the ball, I'm going to put it down in my hip and look around like I've got all the time in the world, and you don't. And he's not very good at buying the time like Aaron Rodgers and stuff like that in the pocket. Now, he's fast enough where he can take off with it, but he's not taking it off with it like Lamar Jackson does. No. We see that in there. So he stands there until he gets sacked, basically, and he needs quicker reads. He needs to get that ball out quicker because
that's on Bill O'Brien. That's on Bill O'Brien making sure that happens. And against a Colts team that he is familiar with, I feel like that will happen.
Let's hope so, too. I think the Texans at home will be my pick, too, because they desperately need it. That's just where I'm going with that one, but it's going to be a coin flip.
Yeah.
Excited to watch that Thursday night game.
Yeah, rarely, but I'm going to do it.
I'll put
that
one on.
Make sure I watch it.
All right, Dan, let's catch us up with the picks.
Oh, no.
I think we have an idea of where this one's going.
I have a feeling.
I took those Colts. You took those Jaguars, so I take another pickup from you.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming in this week. I had a 2-game lead. Now I'm up to 3. My mom, I got her on that Jets Redskins big game. So I am at 104 correct. You're at 101. My mom is at 103. I lead it all.
These horses coming into the backstretch here.
Yep.
Now, this is where you get a little wonky.
Oh, yeah. In the end here, especially in games that aren't up for playoffs or people start resting people. So this being this tight don't mean a thing.
Come on, Giants. Make it happen.
I'm gonna live in it as I can here. Hey, best in picks. All right.
There you go.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode. We're going to wrap this up here for this week. We do this show every Wednesday, so come back and get it where you got this one this week on all of the social medias and the like, everywhere where you get your podcasts, but we're also at thepushoff.com. We are part of Universe Head. If you go to universehead.com, you see all the great shows that are going on through them, along with ours. The song you hear at the beginning and the end is Drunk on Pop. We don't bring that up enough, but that's by the Limbos and our buddy Drew on drums. So thank you guys very much for letting us use that song. And the song in the middle is probably something I stole. Don't tell nobody.
Don't worry about it.
All right, Dan, crazy stats time.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I've got, well, there was one I skipped over on the Browns. This is the first time the Browns have beaten the Ravens and the Steelers in the same season.
Wow.
I mean, the Ravens came, what, 1996?
Yeah, that's still kind of surprising, though.
Yeah, crazy stat. We talked about that the Vikings were the first team in 5 years, first to the 100, won the game after being down by 20-plus points.
Mm-hmm.
The last time this happened, 2013, yeah, over 5 years ago, 2013, when the Patriots beat the Denver Broncos, when they were up 24 to nothing. Yes. So, oof, Denver.
I feel like there was a 28-3 a while ago, and I can't remember who that maybe was.
Yeah, that one was under 5 years, but yeah. Maybe they don't count.
I don't think seasons. That was at the half. I think that was like in the beginning of the third quarter.
Third,
yeah.
Fourth quarter, that's true. That was even worse. All right. 7 more yards this season, and Mike Evans will begin his career with 6 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He's the second wide receiver to do this. Who was number one?
Was it your boy Randy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who else starts their career that fast? Randy Moss. And then finally, Dan, another question for you. Only 2 QBs with 2 consecutive seasons of 7 touchdown rushes in there. 2 teams now, or 2 QBs have done it back-to-back seasons because somebody just did it after this week. Who are the 2 QBs? Can you tell me?
I'm going to go with Cam Newton.
Cam Newton was the one who did it prior, who just did it.
I'm going to go with Lamar.
It's Josh Allen.
God damn it, Josh Allen, you fucker.
He's running in those touchdowns. That is our episode for the week. Dan, any parting words of wisdom?
I have parting words of Tombstone.
Oh, no.
And this is not the portion of the program where I just quote Val Kilmer things from Tombstone. Although that would be perfectly fine, but the show's been going on a while, so I'm going to digress. The Tombstone is for the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, boy.
Poor, miserable, moribund Panthers, your season is over. The bright, shining star that was Kyle Allen has supernovaed and has caved in upon itself. I look forward to seeing Cam Newton back in Carolina Blues next year.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
Thank you guys for joining us. Have a great week. Enjoy the games. We will see you here next Wednesday. This is The Push-Off.